is the frightening dream of Nebuchadnezzar, where he sees this great tree, and it's a mighty and it's a tall tree, and on the branches of this tree are fowl of the birds of the world, and beneath it are beasts who rest in the shade of this tree. And then all of a sudden he sees that the tree is cut down, and all the birds fly away. Gone are the beasts who were under it, and he doesn't know the meaning of the dreams. Of course, he calls for Daniel, and Daniel tells him that you are the tree, the mighty tree that goes up to the heaven and is seen across the entire world, and that there's a moment that's going to come at which you're going to be chopped down, and you're going to become like the beasts of the field. You're going to live in the field, and this is all the result of your haughtiness. And God wants to teach you that your kingdom and everything that you have is only because of Him. And haughtiness and pride and conceit, where man sees himself in a sense even as godlike, this is something that God must teach Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I'll tell you, I'm going to go back to Pasuk 26. The last thing really we had discussed last week was the fact that Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar that if you want to save yourself from the terrible decree upon you, give charity. And the fact is that this is what he does. And of course, we discussed last week the question of can you give a good advice to an Oyver Avedis Chachamim, to a Rosha Merusha, a tyrant like him? Can you give him good advice? And the good advice is, of course, advice that keeps him in power. And we explained that over here, Daniel felt that he had the right or the necessity to do it because Klal Yisrael was in desperate straits. They needed somebody to sustain them, and therefore the needs of the Jewish people took precedence. Then it says, Pasuk 26, Uktsarti Archin Trei Asar, at the end of 12 months, Al Heichal Malchuta Dibavel Mahalachava, I was walking upon the, I would imagine it was the ramparts of his palace in Babel. Let me remind you that this entire chapter is a letter that Nebuchadnezzar is sending to all of the nations, tongues, and peoples of his realm. So therefore, the first part of the letter is first person. He begins to say, I, Nebuchadnezzar, the king. In the middle, he turned the story into third person, and now at the end, he again tells the story as in first person. And this is all part of the letter that he has sent throughout the world. L'ktzat yarchin treyas, at the end of 12 months, al heichal malchuta di bavel mahalachava, I was walking along the temple, the palace in Bavel, on a malkava oma. And now he refers to himself again in the royal we. The king lifted his voice and said, he looked out at all of Bavel beneath him, and he said, Halo dohi Bavel rabta, this is the great metropolis of Bavel, diano benaite lebeit malchu, I built this as a house of royalty. Bitakaf chisni v'liyikor hadri, with the strength of my might and the preciousness of my glory, I did it. And here it is, as the moment of the conceit comes down upon him. Old milta bepum malko, the word was still in the mouth of the king. Kol min shamaya nafal, a voice fell down from heaven. Really, a voice coming down from heaven. Loch omri Nebuchadnezzar malko, to you Nebuchadnezzar malko, to you Nebuchadnezzar king, you said the following. Malchuta adot minach, the kingdom is removed from you. Ice king. Umin enosh aloch tardim, and from the company of men you are sent away. Now, most of the Mefarshim learn that Nebuchadnezzar didn't turn physically into an animal, but he mentally he lost the faculties of a human being, and he began to think and act like animals. Umin anoshalach tardin, from amongst men you have been removed. V'imchevad baro midorach, with the beasts of the field, midorach is where you will live. And here are many words that we've had already before. Chevat ar chayat, the beasts. Boro always means the outside, out in the hinterland. Midorach is your dira, that's where you will live. Izba, grass, ketorin loch yitamun, grass like the oxen you will taste, you will eat. V'shiva idonin, and 7 periods of time, 7 years, yachlifun alayach will pass over you, abditinda, until you will know. Dishalit Eloi, there is an almighty master, b'malchut anasha, over the kingdom of men. The kingdom is not yours. It was given to you. Ulemandi yitzbe, and to the one whom he wants, yitnena, he gives it to him. And therefore this is not a kingdom that's yours. It's not you who built Babel. It's not you who created this great metropolis and this great country. It was all given to you. Bashata milta safat al Nebuchadnezzar. Bashata, at that time, milta, the thing, safat al Nebuchadnezzar, came down upon Nebuchadnezzar. The voice comes out from heaven and tells him, you should know that there is an almighty God. And at that moment, it came to pass upon Nebuchadnezzar, umin enoshot terid, from mankind he was cast out, the izba ketorin yechol, and he ate grass like the oxen, umital shmaya gishmei yitztaba, and from the dew of the heaven, gishmei his body yitztaba, it became wet. Adisare kinishrin rava, until his hair grew like the wings of an eagle, a lot of hair, vitifrohi, and the nails on his fingers became kitsipodin, like an animal, like claws, talons. Yes, that was the talons. Ulektzat yomaya. And at the end of the days, it means at the end of this time period, Ana Nebuchadnezzar, Einai Lishmayo Nitleit, I, Nebuchadnezzar, my eyes to heaven I raised. It means during the period of the 7 years, he was incapable of any kind of intelligent response. There's no way that he can turn to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I'm going to do tshuva. But when the time period ends and his mind returns to being the mind of a human being, he realizes what has happened to him, and he therefore turns heavenward. Umandi'i alai yetuv, and here it says clearly, mandi'i means my intellect, my mind, alai yetuv, returned to me. Uli'ilo'i barchet, and I bless the Almighty, the one above. Ulechai oma, and to the one who lives forever, to the eternal, Shabchet, I praised, Vahadreit, and I gave beauty. Di Sholtana Sholton Olam, his rule is a rule for eternity. Umalchute Imdor Vador, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Where do we have something similar in Hebrew in davening? Nearly the same words, but it's in Hebrew. Ashrei malchutcha, malchut kol olamim, umemshaltecha, idor ledor. Precise words. Di sholtane sholtan olim, you rule forever, malchutcha, malchut kol olamim, umalchutei imdor vador, from generation to generation. V'chol dorei ara, and all who live upon the face of this earth. This is the statement that is now being made by Nebuchadnezzar. And he wants all peoples and all nations to know this. V'chol dorei aro kilo chashivin, and all of those who live upon the face of this earth, kilo, like nothing, are they considered. In comparison to him, everything else is nothing. This is a takeoff on the same word that we've had already four or five times, according to his will. According to his will, Obeid Bechel Shmaya, the hosts of the heavens do his bidding. V'doirei Ara, and those who live upon the face of this earth. Heaven and earth follow the bidding of God. V'lo itai, v'yimachei b'yidei, there is nobody who can stay his hand. Nobody has the power. Lo itai, there is none. The Yemachei Biyadei who can object and stand in his way. V'yemarle, there is no one who can say to him. The words Lo Itai refer to both parts of the phrase. There is no one that can say to him, Mo Avadit, what did you do? There's nobody who can stand in his way. Bezimna, at that moment, at that time, Mandi Tuvalai, my intellect returned to me. V'li yikar malchuti hadri v'zivi yituv alai, and to the honor, the glory of my kingdom. Hadri, my beauty v'zivi yituv alai, returned to me. In other words, his face that had obviously had undergone all sorts of changes, and we're talking about his long hair and his long nails, he begins his normal complexion, everything returns to him. Hadavrai v'li, hadavrai v'ravravun yiva'un, and to me, my advisors began to advise, and he returns, and he takes over the reins of government. My advisors, my great people, advise me. Ba'al malchuti hotkenat, and I was replaced upon my kingdom. Urivu yatira husafli, and even more greatness was added to me. Upon the return to his kingdom, his strength and his might was even greater than before. Ka'an. Now, Anon Nebuchadnezzar, I Nebuchadnezzar Meshabech, Umeromeim, Umahadar, Lemelech Shemaya. I praise, I exalt, and I beautify the King of the heavens. Those words appear in one sentence in Kaddish, isn't it? Yishtabach v'yidpa'ar v'yidromam v'yidnasei v'yidhadar. Three of the six words in that sentence, the fourth sentence of Kaddish, you have it here, Yishtabach Umeromein, Umahatar, Lemelech Shmaya, to the King of Heaven, the Kol Ma'avodohi Kishot, whatever he does, Shot, we've had the word before, and this is a word that we have in B'rich Shemay that we will yet learn one of these days. Shot means it is true. Whatever he does is Emet. What do we say in B'rich Shemay? Oraitok Shot, the, huh? Nivyoyit yes, the prophets are true, Torah is true. V'orchotei din, and his ways are justice. V'dimahalchin begavor, those who go with conceit, ga'ava, yochil hashpala, he can cast them down. By the way, this is... this is not the first time that we have a statement of this sort from Nebuchadnezzar. It may not even be the last time. He said this after his dream at the end of chapter 2, and he's saying it here. We will yet see other times. But basically, this is chapter 4. I'm going to save... I'm going to save the Gemara for a little while later, because I have this need to get into to chapter 5. And they're all going to be related. Because we're going to have the same problem. The problem of conceit. And man or king who sees himself as all powerful. Belshazzar Malkah, chapter 5. Belshazzar Malkah. This is the famous chapter of the handwriting on the wall. And maybe for once you're going to find out what the handwriting on the wall was. And why he couldn't read the handwriting on the wall. Let's see. Belshazzar Malkah. King Belshazzar. Who Belshazzar is open to a little bit of difference of opinion. It would seem, according to most opinions, Belshazzar is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar is certainly the last king of the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire is going to come to a crushing end with Belshazzar, and it's going to be in this chapter. And we're going to see things in this chapter that had been said hundreds of years earlier. There are psukim in Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu that foresee clearly exactly what's going to happen in this chapter. Now, it seems according to the Gemara, according to our sources anyway, there were three kings of Babel. The first king of Babel was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years. Following him was his son Evil Merodach for 23 years. And then Belshazzar the last, who is either the son of Evil Merodach, which makes him the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, though in this chapter he is going to be referring to Nebuchadnezzar as his father. But that's not really problematic, because in Tanakh we have that the grandchildren refer to their grandparents as father and mother.
Just a coincidence that Belshazzar, Daniel's name, and
there's only one difference between Belshazzar the Tet. The Mepharshim point out the names are very close. Daniel's Aramaic name has a Tet in it, Belshazzar. And basically the meaning is very much the same. Baal was the god of Babel, and Belshazzar means that the god of Babel should be my salvation or something of that sort. Very, very similar. Anyway, we can learn the chapter. Doesn't make any difference. According to the Gemara, it's clear there were three kings, father, son, grandson. Father, son, grandson. Vashti's father was Belshazzar. We're going to move into, really, with the end of this chapter, Babylon falls and Persia rises to power. The new power is going to be Persia. But let's see. Belshazzar Malkah. Avad Lechem Rav. Belshazzar the king made Lechem Rav a great bread. That's literal translation. What lechem always means in Tanakh, a meal. A meal. And you're going to have it, when Yosef is sitting, they're eating lechem with his, he's eating lechem with his brothers before they know, because lo yochun, they have to eat separately because the Egyptians don't eat bread with the Hebrews. Lechem always means a meal. Yayin or mishte always refers to a cocktail party with the drinking of wine. Belshazzar made a big party. L'rabrevo nohi alaf, for 1,000 of his great men. 1,000 of the leaders of his community, of his country. V'lekovel alfa chamro shate. And there are two ways of looking at this. Either he was, chamro means wine. Chamro shate, he drank wine. Lekovel alfa means either he was able to drink 1,000 people under the table, which according to the Gemara is exactly what Vashti told Ahasuerus when Ahasuerus called upon her to come before him naked. So she said, you know, you can't hold my wine. My father was able to hold his wine, drink with 1,000 people, and not become drunk. and you're incapable. I mean, that was, of course, their relationship was already on the rocks. The wine was on the rocks. Everything was on the rocks by the time that happened. But she is the daughter of Belshazzar. But many of the Mepharshim learned that Lekabel Alpha means in the presence of the thousand people he drank. When a party was made, it seems the king would have a separate section of his own where he would sit and drink, but the king didn't drink in public. Over here, the party that he's making is so important to him that he's drinking with the crowds. He's out there with 1,000 people walking around, you know, with an olive and a cherry, and he's drinking. Because this party is extremely important to him. There are two reasons why this party is important. Number one, because that day, they had stopped the onslaught of Persia. They had stopped the Persians dead in their tracks, not knowing, of course, that the Persians began to regroup during the day, and in the middle of that night, they're going to make one final attack on Babel that is going to bring the empire crumbling down. He doesn't know that. But there was a great victory that day. According to the Gemara, of course, Gemara in Masechet Megillah, he, according to his calculation, the 70 years that Yirmiyahu had spoken about, Yirmiyahu had said that Jews are going to be in exile for 70 years, according to his calculations, before he started drinking, the 70 years were over, and Jews had not been redeemed. And we have pointed out at the beginning of our study of Daniel that the words of Yirmiyahu had become extremely important to all peoples on the face of that earth, because they saw that whatever Yirmiyahu said had come true. He, for 40 years, he described the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. He even described who would be the conqueror and where he would come from. So while for 40 years they may have been mocking him in the streets of Yerushalayim, but all of a sudden the world stood up and saw that this fellow, Yirmiyahu, knew exactly what he said. And therefore, when he said that the exile is going to last for 70 years and then Judea is going to rise again, this was something that they were frightened of. Because as we've quoted so often in the past, when Judea rebelled, the entire Roman Empire quaked. Every empire quaked when Judea rebelled. When, according to his calculation, the 70 years are up, and we're going to see in chapter 9, even Daniel doesn't know when the 70 years are up. He makes a big party because he thinks that there's no longer a threat of an insurrection by Jews, and the attack from Persia has been rebuffed, so now he makes a big party. Belshazzar Amar B'Teim Chamra. Belshazzar said when he had the taste of wine in his mouth, "Lahaitoya limone dehava v'kaspa, to bring the vessels of gold and silver, dehampak Nebuchadnezzar avuhi, that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out." Now you see, he refers to Nebuchadnezzar, the Navi refers to Nebuchadnezzar as his father. And I say it doesn't necessarily have to mean father, it may be grandfather. He took out, in other words, they were afraid. All of those years they were afraid to profane the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. There was something frightening about it. And now he's going to break that barrier because he feels that Jews are no longer going to be redeemed. Nothing to be afraid anymore of the God of heaven. He therefore takes out the vessels of gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken min heichala de Yerushalayim, from the temple that was in Yerushalayim. V'yishton b'hom, so that they should drink in them. Malka v'rav revo, Nohi, the king and his great men. Sheiglosei ulechenatei, his wives, ulechenatei, his concubines. Beidayim, then, exactly as he said, haitiv, they brought money to hava, the vessels of gold, the hanpiku min hechola, that they had taken from the temple, the beit alahod, the Yerushalem, from the house of God, which is in Yerushalayim. Now, in the pasuk before, it only said the vessels that had been taken from the temple in Yerushalayim. Now the pasuk is saying the temple of God. The Beit Elohah, that temple in Yerushalayim is not just a stam temple. It's a temple of God. The Ishtiv Bahon, they drank in them. Malka v'Ravravanohi, the king and all his great men, Sheglatei Ulechenatei, his wives and his concubines. Ishtiv Chamra, they drank the wine, the Shabaku, and they praised, as they're drinking from the Kelim of the Beth HaMikdash, they praised Lelohod, Dahava, Vikaspa, Nechosha, Parzala, O'ov, Ba'avna. By the way, all of these words we've already had earlier in Sefer Daniel. They praised their gods of gold, of silver, of copper, metal. O'ov is wood, and Avna, of course, is stone. Ba'shata. This we had a few times in the chapter before. Precisely at that time. At that time. Nefaku etzbon diyad enosh. The hand, the fingers of a man's hand went out. The kotvan lekavel nivrashta. Nivrashta, you should know what it means. Huh? Yeah, this is a word in Hebrew that comes from the Aramaic. It's not a Hebrew word. A nivreshet is a chandelier. A nivreshet is a chandelier. Beit Shata, at that moment, nefaku, there went out etzba'on, fingers, diyad enosh, of a man's hand. The katvon lekabel nivreshta, and started writing right opposite the chandelier, so it can be clearly seen. Al gira diketal Hechalot de Malka, Gira is the Sid, the white walls, the plaster walls. Yeah, Gira is chalk, and because it's made from the same thing that what do they call it? The Spachtel of it. What do they call that? The white stuff that you put on the walls. Sid. The Ketal Hechalot, the wall of the temple, de Malka of the king. Umalkei Chazor, the king saw, Pas Yador Dikotva, and he sees a hand, not even a whole hand, just the, it's pretty scary. It's very scary. This he sees a hand writing on the wall. Who's the man? Who's the man? No? The man is a Malach. Now, the reason why I ask you who the man is, because in this week's Sedra, there's always a relationship. And it says that Yaakov sends Yosef to find out how his brothers are doing with the sheep. He sends them to Shechem. He goes through, he comes to Shechem, and his brothers aren't there. And he's wandering in a field, and he meets a man. And Rashi there says, who is the man? Michael Hamalach. And he quotes a pasuk in Daniel, because later on, Michael is going to be referred to as Ha'ish Michael, and therefore the Mephoshim over here says, Yad Enosh, the hand of a man, it's that man who meets Yosef out in the field. In a sense, the fact that it's Michael is very, very significant. Oh, if I don't remember, yes, I remember. Four great words of the Ramban on this week's Sedra. Destiny, the Rebbeinu has decided that the exile is about to begin in this week's Sedra. Yosef has to meet up with his brothers and going to be sold into slavery. And so begins the terrible chapter in Jewish history. But something goes wrong with the plans. Smack in the middle. The plan was based on the fact that Yaakov will send his son to Shechem, he'll come to Shechem, and he'll meet the brothers, and then the whole drama is going to unfold. But something goes wrong with the plan. He comes to Shechem, and they're not there. So what the Rebbeinu Shalom has to improvise? How does the Rebbeinu Shalom improvise? He sends Michael out into the field, and Michael asks Yosef, well, what are you looking for? And he says, I'm looking for my brothers. I happen to know exactly where they are. The Ramban says four words. He says the following: from this story we learn, Hagezeira emes v'hacharitzut sheker. God's divine decree is truth, and all the machinations and the attempts of man to undo it are all sheker. If there's a divine plan, that divine plan is going to be carried out. Even though it seems that there's a monkey wrench in the works, the brothers are not in Shechem. Don't worry about the Rebbein Shem. No sweat. Because the Rebbein Shem is going to make sure that Michal is going to be down there and going to direct Yosef straight to his brothers. Hagezeira emes, God's divine decree, and in the broader sense what it means is the God's plan for history is emes, v'acharitzut, and all of man's attempts to do otherwise, to undo God's will, sheker, it's all falsehood, nothing is going to happen. Nothing will come of it. In a sense, that's the message. Michal seems to be the angelic messenger of history. And he here is going to let Belshazzar know the time for the fall of Babel has come. And it's going to come regardless of what it may seem. All of the military experts may be saying that that Persia has received such a blow today that Persia will never be able to come again against Babel. So you know, Michal is the one who comes down over there and says, take it easy. The Rabbein Shalom is the one who runs this world. That's really what Nebuchadnezzar learned in the last chapter. Belshazzar the Einikel hasn't learned from the Seder. Watch.
Rabbi, usually when there's an indication of something going to happen, there's an open door of Shuva. Why? Because he has to know that he's going to be crushed.
Why does he have to know?
Unless he can do tshuva, to do something different.
No, God doesn't always want people to do tshuva. I don't think he wanted Hitler to do tshuva. Rishayim have to be destroyed, they have to be crushed. And they have to know, at least in their dying moments, that God laughs last. And the one who runs history is God. What, tshuva? What are you talking about? We're opening an Ur Sameach for Rishayim over here? What kind of business is this? No. Belshazzar is a Rasha. He has defiled and desecrated the Holy of Holies that even his Zayden Nebuchadnezzar of Russia was frightened of. Nebuchadnezzar would not have done it. You know who else is going to do it? Achashverosh is going to do it. Because at the party of Achashverosh it says, V'kelim, mikelim shonim. And that's the first chapter that they have. Different kinds of kelim that are brought out. He also brings out the clay Beit HaMikdash. Let's go for it. Umalka Chosei, the king saw, pas yada. What do you call this part of the hand? The palm, that's it. The palm of the hand. He sees a palm of a hand. The katva that is writing. A dayan, then Malka. Zivohi, the shine of his face, shnohi, was changed. In other words, his whole face changed dramatically, and you can see terror written on it. The shine of his face changed, v'rayonohu givahalune, and his thoughts caused him to tremble, v'kitrei charze mishtarayin. It means like the parts of his body are falling apart. He is trembling and shaking uncontrollably as though his body is going to fall apart. Va'arkubate, and his knees, dolador nokshon, are banging one against the other. The man is going through a terrible seizure of fright. Kore malko v'chayel, the king, yes? Right now, just for a moment, Umalko Jose. At this point, so far, it says that the king saw in Pasuk 6, no, in Pasuk 5, it says Malko Jose.
It sounds that if you go further, it sounds that they saw the writing, but they didn't see the hand.
Oh, that's why I want to point out the psukim. Right now, it says Malchus, the king, saw, and he changes and he becomes frightened. They may ultimately see the words, but the one who sees a hand, it's a pretty frightening thing. I think any one of us would begin to shake. Korei Malko b'chayil, the king called out with a strong voice, Leheolah, to bring up before him, and we've had all of these words, the Oshfayo, Kazdoye, the Gozrayo, the astrologers, the magicians, the heads of the religious community. The king said to the wise men of Babel, the Kol Enash. Now obviously they're all able to read it because he asks them, take a look at what it says there and tell me what it says. He said, the Kol Enash, any person, the Yikrei Ketova Dono, who will be able to read Ketova Dono, this writing, Upishrei Yechavinani, and tell me what is its interpretation, Argivono Yilbash, will be cloaked in Argaman. Argaman is royal robes, royal raiments. V'hamnicha didahava al tzavarei, and a necklace of gold upon his around his neck, which is, by the way, precisely what was done to Mordechai. Yes, and Yosef. Paro put upon Yosef after he appointed him. In other words, it seems that this was sort of a part of the ceremony involved in raising somebody, I don't know, to knighthood.
It looks like the queen
uses
the sword.
That's right, like a sword. So over here it's putting on the necklace. V'talti b'malchuto yashlit. Different pshatim over here. Talti means three, third. B'malchuto, in the kingdom, yishlat, will rule. He will either be the third in line, in other words, there's the king, there's the second of the king, and then there's a third. There are others who say that he will be one of the three who rules in the kingdom, and that we had earlier, that in addition to Nebuchadnezzar, there were three people who assisted him in ruling. And there's even a pshat that says that he will rule over a third of the kingdom. Eidayin. So then what happened was, Olin, Kol Chakinim, all of the wise men of the king came before him, the Lochoha, they were not able, ketova lemikra, to read the writing. And therefore they couldn't tell the interpretation to the king. Then King Belshazzar, sagi midbahal. The fact is, if you review, you're going to find that here there are words that are being repeated that by now you should already know. Sagi has been used a number of times. When we talked about the great statue that Nebuchadnezzar sees, it is Sagi. When we read in the last chapter about the big tree, it is Sagi. Sagi means big, great. And over here means Sagi mit Baal. He became even more frightened. He became frightened to a great extent. Vizivohi shon nayin alohi, and the appearance, the countenance of his face changed. Viravrivonohi mishtabshin, and his great people, his great advisors, all of them who are at the party, mishtabshin, have become, I would say, confused. Anybody have an English over there? How do they? Astonished? Perplexed. Perplexed. No. All right. There are all sorts of different pshatim, but they're all in this general area. Malkus ola kavel, mile malko v'rav revonai. Malkata does not mean the king, the queen. Malkata means the queen mother. The queen mother. There's a queen mother who yet remembers that there was a fellow Daniel. Remember, this is the enacle of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was close to the Zayda, but the Enikel doesn't know. But the Queen Mother, she remembers. Malketol Kavel Milay Malkover Avrevonahi, the Queen Mother. The words that she said before the King and his great ones, Lebeit Mishtaya Alalit, she came up to the house of where the party is taking place, and not Malketova Ameret. The Queen Mother raised her voice and she said, Malkan la ol min chayi, the king shall live forever. Long live the king. Ayyivahaluch rayonach, let not your thoughts frighten you. V'zivok lo yishtanu, and the countenance of your face shouldn't change. Itar givar b'malchutach, there is a man in your kingdom. Di ruach Elohim kadishin bei, that in him there rests the spirit of the Holy God. U'biyomei avuch, and in the days of your father, here also it may mean grandfather. In the days of your grandfather, nohidu v'sachletanu v'chochma kechochmat Elohim hishtakachat bei, which means the following. Hishtakachat bei, there was found in him. Do you know what he had? He had nohiru. There was a light. There was light. V'sachletanu, the man had seichel, great intellect. V'chochma and wisdom, like the wisdom of God. There was a man who, by light, she may also mean that he was able to shed light on that which was unknown to us, that which was concealed before us. When we were in the dark, he was able to shed light.
But what she's saying is that they believe in God. They believe that God is alive.
This problem we have throughout, because poor Nebuchadnezzar is going to move in different directions at different times. For example, in the last chapter, he knows that if he does not recognize the greatness of God, he's going to lose his kingdom. And he can't help it. For a year he was a good boy, and at the end of the year he is overcome and overwhelmed by a sense of his own greatness. Listen, not only big people make such mistakes, don't we have that amongst unser kleine Menschen? We are not moved at times, only rarely of course. We are moved by envy, we're moved by conceit, we see things in our own interests. I mean, we make mistakes too. And the fact is, the worst problem is that we don't make it only once. If we usually keep making the same mistakes over and over again, we become experts at making the same mistakes. But that's the way it is. We know what human nature is. It's so difficult for us to change our ways. And sometimes we reach a point, of course, where we have convinced ourselves that our ways are the right ways and everybody else around me, they're all wrong. They just don't know who I am or what I am. I'm going to talk about somebody else, not me. Yeah. Yeah?
Didn't that happen also in Moroccan? I think that the Shlomo, there was somebody who found the town, the city, and if he went out...
You're talking about Shimi ben Gera. Shlomo HaMelech tells Shimi ben Gera that he should build himself a house in Yerushalayim and not leave the city. And the day that he leaves the city, his blood is upon his head. So how do you want to relate that to here?
Just in the nature of it. Because
Shlomo HaMelech knew, Shlomo HaMelech, remember what I said then? Shlomo HaMelech knew that when you tell Shimi ben Gera that he must live in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim becomes a prison for him. And he sees Yerushalayim. But if you come, if you live in Yerushalayim by choice, or you come to the plaza, you know, or to the Hilton, so that's okay. But if you have to live in Yerushalayim and you can't leave, but remember, there are good Jews, of course, that are able to pride themselves that they never left Yerushalayim, you know? And not only that, I was sitting with somebody a few weeks ago, somebody who heads a major Torah institution in this country, and it sort of came out in the middle of the conversation that he has never set foot out of Eretz Yisrael. I looked at him with amazement. He's running, I'm telling you, a major Torah institution in this country. And he never said that. He says, no, he doesn't plan ever. The closest he's gotten to Chutz Aretz is to pick somebody up at the airport. But he does it by choice. By choice. Yeah, it's difficult for us to change. Yes, Rhoda? It's at least 26 years later. But you see, the point is, Rhoda, the fact that he demonstrably takes out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash means that he and all of those before him knew that there's a big no-no. You can't take out the clay Beis HaMikdash. He knows that there's something about these Jews, and those kelim, and therefore now in his conceit, because he's won this great battle against Persia, he decides he can now take it out. So in other words, he knows this himself. It's not something that he had to learn. Maybe he learned it from his Zayda, maybe he learned it from his father, but he knows that you don't start off with the God of Yerushalayim. You don't start off with the God of Yerushalayim. He knows it. Yes?
But particularly they, because they did worship things. To the Jews, the clay bayit was holy because they were part of the bayit. But to them,
the fact,
things had holiness.
But the fact is that since it was so terribly important when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, World Jewish Congress or somebody else, they would start getting back the artworks and the, I don't know, maybe we should go, if we're going after Germany, maybe we should go after Rome and start getting all of the manuscripts and clay Beit HaMikdash that are in Rome. Edgar Bronfman, when he's finished with the Swiss, you understand, and Volkswagen and a few others, they should go to work on the, the only thing is what, we're going to go to work on that, we're not doing anything on Harabayat, so we're going to do something there. Anyway, let's keep to the Neo. I want to get to the handwriting on the wall. So he says, she tells him, the queen mother says, that in the days of your father, light and intellect and wisdom, like the wisdom of God, was found in this man. Umalkin of Nebuchadnezzar Avuch, again, the king Nebuchadnezzar, your father, Rav Chartumin Oshvin Kazdoyin Gozrin Hakimei Avuch Malka. He made him the Rav, the master over all of the sorcerers, the magicians, the astrologers. Hakimot Avuch Malka, your father, the king, made him. Kol Kavel Diruach Yatida. You know why he did this? Queen Mother is telling Belshazzar, because Ruach Yatira, there's a special spirit in him, Umanda, and knowledge, Vesachlutonu, and intellect, Mefashar Chelmin, he knows how to interpret dreams, Vaachavoyat Achidon, and he can solve riddles, Chidot riddles, Umishorei Kitrin, he unties that which is tied. Now, something tied represents something like, you know, I can't get to it, I can't open it, I can't understand it. He's able to do that. Hishtakachat bebe Daniel. This was found in Daniel. You know what's fascinating? That she refers to him, Queen Mother refers to him by his Hebrew name. He hasn't been referred to by his Hebrew name, by Belshazzar or by Nebuchadnezzar. She refers to him, I don't know whether it's a pre-Freudian slip of the tongue when she speaks about him in such divine terms. He is Daniel. And then she says, the Malkosom Shmei Belshazzar, the king gave him the name Belshazzar. Ka'an, then, Daniel Yitkerei, Daniel was called, Upishra Yahachaveh, let Daniel be called, Upishre Yahachaveh, and he shall tell us the interpretation of the dream. Beitayim, Pasuk Gedil. Daniel, who al kodam malkov, Daniel was brought before the king. On a malkov or amal Daniel, the king raised his voice, lifted his voice. On a, always doesn't mean a loud voice. What it means, when we're talking about the words that are expressed by kings, he lifted his voice, and he said to Daniel, Antu Daniel, Dimin B'nei Galuta de Yehud, you are Daniel from amongst the exile of Yehud. You see, he does know about Daniel. He does know. It seems he knows information about this Daniel. And do you understand? It's 23, 45, it's 70 years later, 69 years after, 69, maybe more than 69 years since Daniel has come into exile, and he's still a greenhorn. He is still a Nayig Kimena. He's a Yoreid Chadash. You understand? They still remember that he's from the Galuta of Yehud, the exile of Judea. The Haita Malka Avi Min Yehud, that my father the king brought from Yehud. Vishimat Aloch. I have this feeling that he knew about Daniel, but he didn't want to call that Jew. He didn't want him. And when he has no choice, and especially Queen Mother has said, and nobody else is able to explain it to him, he has no choice, he turns to the Jew. If you ever read the opening of the Kuzri, the king of the Khazars has a dream. Oh, so there's a dream. And his dream keeps recurring that his intentions are good, but his deeds are not. So he decides that he's going to speak to a philosopher, a Christian, and a Muslim. But he had decided in advance he's not talking to Jews. They're an accursed people, the wandering Jews. So he talks at length with the philosopher, with the Christian, with the Muslim, and he remains unmoved and unimpressed by them. And he still has the dreams. Dreams keep coming back. Your intentions are good, but your deeds are not. So when he has no choice, and I don't remember the exact words, but I do remember that he sort of says, well, since I have no choice, I'm going to call that Jew. That Jew. This is what happens over here with Belshazzar. B'shimat Allah, I've heard about you, diruach olehin bach, that the Spirit of God is in you, v'nohiru, and light, v'soch letonu, and intellect, v'chochma, and wisdom yatira, hishtakachat bach, is found in you. By the way, if you will have noticed, the repetitions in every chapter are over and over again. Repetitions. Uka'an, and now, hu alu kadamai, you've been brought before me, hu alu kadamai, have been brought before me, chakimaya, oshpaya, the wise men and the magicians, the ketovah, the noy yikron, they should read that writing, u pishrei lahodu utani, and let me know what it means. V'lo chohalin, this is, I think, for the fifth time we have this word, they cannot, pishar milto lahakavaya, they cannot tell me the interpretation of these words. And I've heard about you. Ditikul, that you can pishin lemifshar vekitrin lemishrei, you can interpret interpretations and you can untie knots. Ka'an, therefore, now, hein tichul ketobo lemikri, can you read this writing? Upishrei lahodo utani, and let me know its interpretation. Ar givono tilvash, when you do that, I'm going to put royal robes upon you, and I'm going to put a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will be third to rule in my kingdom. And then, Daniel said, and before the king, let your gifts be to you. I don't want your stuff. Niviz biyatach also means like your gifts, or you know what you present to me. La'achrin have, give it to somebody else. Veram ketova ekro l'malka, but I will read the writing before the king. Upishrei ahodine, and I will let him know the interpretation. Anta malka, you king, eloho ilah, malchuta urevuta v'yikara v'hadra yehav. You, king, Elohai Allah, the God above, is the one that gave to your father, read grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, gave him kingdom, Malchuta, kingdom, Uruvuta, and greatness, Viyakora, and honor, Vahadra, and beauty. All of this was given by God. Umin Rebuta Diyahavle, Kol, Amemaya, Umaya, Velishanaya, Havuzoin, Vidachalin, Min Kodamai. Because of what God gave Nebuchadnezzar, all nations, tongues, and peoples trembled before Nebuchadnezzar. Not because of Nebuchadnezzar, but because this was the will of God. Dihavitzabe, this word we've had already a number of times with regard to Nebuchadnezzar. Dihavitzabe, whom he wanted, Havikotel, he killed. With the Havitzave, and whom he wanted, Havomache, he would give him life. With the Havitzave, Havimorem, whom he wanted, he could raise and uplift. With the Havitzave, Havimashpil, and whomever he wanted, he could bring down. In other words, this divine power was given by God to Nebuchadnezzar, because God is the one who can do that, and so Nebuchadnezzar as well. And when his heart became conceited. You know what happened to Yazid the Nebuchadnezzar? The Ruche Tokfat Lahazada, and his spirit became, I would say, evil, bad. Hanchat min karse malchuta, he was cast down from the throne of his kingdom, the yikorahedev mine, and his great honor was removed from him. Umin b'nei enosha turid, by the way, now you see over here in this case, it's very clear why chapter 5 follows chapter 4. In other words, in the wake of chapter 4, his grandson Belshazzar is being reminded what happened to Nebuchadnezzar the Zeder when he became conceited. Umin b'nei enosha turid, he was removed from the company of human beings, v'livveim chevata shavei, and his heart became like the heart of a beast, v'im arodayo midorei, and he lived with the arodim. I have a picture of an arod here, an arod, what do they call, some kind of a horse? Yeah, you know what it's like? Go over there to near the mashbir, you know, that black thing standing over there? That's mamish. That's what an arod looks like. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, okay. Is bokitodin yitamune, grass like the oxen he ate. Umital shemayo gishme yitstaba, and from the dew of the heavens, his body was made wet. Arti yidan, till he knew. The shalit eloho iloya, that there is an almighty God who rules b'malchut anasha, over the kingdom of men. Ulamanti yitzbei, and to whom he wants, yahokem alei, he will raise above men. The Antoberei Belshazzar, you, his son Belshazzar, lohish hashpelt libavach, you did not lower your heart before him. Kol kovel, the kol denoyadata, despite the fact that you knew it all. He's not being condemned for something that is new to him. He knew it all. Not only he knew it all, I therefore say he knew about Daniel too. And he let slip that he knows about Daniel, that he's one of the Jews from the Galut of the Yehud. And Valmore Shemayo Hitromanto, you exalted yourself above the Master of the Heavens, Ulemonayo Dibaite, and the vessels of his house, Haitiv Kodamach, were brought before you, Va'anto V'ravravonach, Sheikh Losreko, the Kainosek, you and your leaders, your great men, your wives and your concubines, Chamra shot in the home, you drank wine in them. V'lelohok Kaspov V'Hava Nachosho Tarzalo or V'Avna. And to the gods of silver and gold and copper and metal and wood and stone, v'lo chozayin, v'lo shimin, v'lo yadin, that don't see, don't hear, and don't know, shabach, you praise, while you're drinking from the clay Beit HaMikdash, v'lo ha, v'nishmetach, b'yedei, and to the God, that your life, your nesham is in his hand, v'chol or chotach lei, and all of your paths in life are in his hands. Lohadart, you did not give praise. Beidayin, therefore, min kodamo, from before him, shliach paso di yado, a hand, the palm of a hand was sent, uketobo de norishim, and it wrote the following, it made the following impression on the wall.
This way he knows that it's true. He's the only one that he could be honest with the palm, and Daniel was telling him about the palm.
That's very good, I like that. Because he hasn't, all he's been asking is to read the writing, but he hasn't said that there was a palm of a hand. But Daniel, very good, told me out. Daniel knows that this is, it was a palm of a hand. Udenor ketiva dirishim, and this is what was written. Menor menor tekelu farsin. These are the four words. Now, I knew that I was overly ambitious. I wanted to learn the Gemara. The Gemara gives four pshatim in menor menor tekelu farsin. In other words, what it means is quite simple. And he's going to explain right away what it means. There are four words. Before you look at the Gemara, there are four words. Do not pishar milso. This is the interpretation of the words. Minei, he takes word one. Minei means mino eloha malchutach. God has measured your kingdom v'hashlama. And it's ended. The second tekel, tekilt, Tekel means weighed. Tekilt to bimma'us naya, you have been weighed in the scales. Vihish kachat chasir, you have been found wanting, lacking. The last word then is peres, farsin. Interesting that the word is peres, because it can also be read as paras. Peres, not peres. You can't get away. It's unbelievable. You can't get. Peres means the following: prisat malchutach, your kingdom has been broken. V'yahavit lemadai uforos, and it has been given to Madai and Poros. It's over. V'idayin amar Belshazzar, then Belshazzar said, V'habishu l'daniel argavona, they put the royal robes upon Daniel. Do they say robes of ermine? Do they give it a color? Purple. Purple. Argaman. V'hamnichod idahav al tzavarei, and the chain, again, you know, this I think at least third or fourth time, the chain of gold around his neck, v'chrizu alohi, and they announced about him, d'lehev eshalet talta b'malchuta, he's going to rule third in the kingdom. I think this is the end of the chapter, the next passage. Be'belelia, that night, ketil Belshazzar malchut kazdoi, that night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was killed. It was all over. It happened immediately. By the way, why does he give all of these gifts to Daniel? Because Daniel hasn't told him when the kingdom is going to fall. He thinks maybe he has time. He doesn't know that it's going to happen that night. Now, why couldn't he read it? The Gemara gives four reasons. Now, I'll tell you which sheet you have to look at. The sheet that has nothing on the other side. The sheet that does not have writing on the other side. Now, yeah, look at the side that has the writing. I'm just going to tell you, there are three, four pshatim in the Gemara. But if you'll see, you see down at the bottom of the right-hand side, all the way down at the bottom, it appeared on the wall, not as menor tekel ufarsin, it was written up and down. Right, so anybody who's going to read it would have read it mantus, non kafi, al ron. You're not on the right sheet. You need the next sheet. She has one behind it? Okay, all right. That's one pshat. There's another pshat, if you'll see immediately above that. All right, so you had to know in what order to read the letters. The letters were all there. But instead of reading it across, you had to read up and down, taka, as in Chinese. Now, there is another pshat in the Gemara. We have a few minutes. Let's go through the Gemara. The Gemara is here. L'Nevi Shimon. You see where there's the Mishnah down at the bottom? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines above the Mishnah. L'Rabbi Shimon da'amar, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says, Ketav zeh lo nishtana. You see, there was an opinion in the Gemara, and this is some of the Mefarshim, that the problem with the handwriting on the wall was the shape of the letters. It was an ancient hieroglyphic, or an ancient Ketav. There were different script. Today, what is our script called? Our script is called Ktav Ashuri. There was a different script before, and they couldn't read that script. In other words, they needed Daniel, who was able to read ancient Hebrew script. He came in and he read it. But then the Gemara says, according to Rav Shimon, who says that the script was not different. So why couldn't they read the handwriting on the wall? Why lo chohalin ksovol imikre? Those are the words in this. They could not read what was written there. Amar Rav. So Rav says, this is the first opinion. There are four opinions in the Gemara. Rav says, begimatria ichtiv lahon. He wrote it begimatria. And by the way, gematria over here does not mean what gematria. Usually gematria, we understand, means the numerical value of letters. But the word gematria in the Gemara can mean whenever a letter stands for something aside from itself. So if the letter it represents a number, so that's gematria. But over here, you know what it said on the wall? Yetat, yetat, idach, pogchamat. It was a code. You know what the code was? The code was the Atbash code. Now above, on the right hand side over there, you have the Atbash code. The Atbash code is, Aleph is represented by a Tav. The first letter of the alphabet, of the alphabet, is the last. The second, Beis, is Shin. By the way, that's a gematria that's used in Tanakh a number of times. Bavel is referred to as Sheshach. Shin is Beis. Shin is Beis. Chaf is in the place of Lamed. In Psukim in Tanakh, Bavel is referred to as Sheshach. So now if you take Adbash, so Mino Mino, the Kelu Farsin was written on the wall, Yutet Tav, Yutet Tav, Idach Pogcha. So nobody, you needed a code buster. You needed somebody who knows which code is going to be used here and knows it. So that's Rav. Rav. My Parishlei, so what did he explain then? What does it mean? Mene Mene, the Kelu Farsin. Mene, Mino Elohim al Kutach Mashlantor, God measured your kingdom and it is ended. Tekel, Tekil Tobim Ozmaya, Vishtakachat Hasir, you've been weighed in the scales and you've been found lacking. Parson Prisas Malchuta Vihivat Lamode Uparas, your kingdom has been broken and given to Mode Uparas. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel says, Mantus Nankifi Aulan. That's the one that I showed you down on the bottom. It was three lines, and the three lines had to be read not straight, but had to be read up and down. V'Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Anam, Anam, Lakat Nisrapu. What's that? Each word was written backwards. Each word was written backwards. No? Backwards.
When it's from here. When it's written this way, it's from down to up.
No, 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 no. No, just backwards. We're up to the next one. Minoah was spelled Anam. With the next one.
Well, that's what I'm saying, over here.
Oh, no, we're not reading that now.
I don't understand. Never mind.
I don't understand? I'm in the next page. Are we talking about the same line in the Gemara?
No, but if you read this from down to up, it's exactly what it says in the line in the Gemara.
Oh, read it backwards.
Right. This has become a challenge. Queenie, what are you telling me? Nothing? Oh, okay. Anyway, Shmuel says, Shmuel, we said, Rabbi Yochanan says, Anam, Anam, Lakat Nisrapu. In other words, it was each word was written backwards. Ravashi Amar, Noma, Noma, Katal Fursin. In other words, he says that it was written not in order. Scrambled.
An anagram.
And you had to be able to see each word and know what it means. Where does each letter belong? So these are the four opinions of what the handwriting on the wall was, according to the opinion that holds that the script was a script that could be read. In other words, it really means all total. We have five opinions as to the handwriting on the wall. One opinion is it was a different script, and the only one who could read the script was Daniel. And then we have the other five opinions, the other four opinions, either it was a code, the Atbash code, it could have been written up and down, each word could have been written backwards, or the letters were scrambled. I said that without taking a breath. All five shot them in the handwriting on the wall. Of course, the main subject that has to be dealt with in these two chapters, and it will come up again, is the idea of, number one, the idea of gaiva, conceit, pride, which we will talk about. And also what's going to be most fascinating is the psukim in Yeshayahu that were written 150 years, 200 years before, there are psukim in Yeshayahu that describe exactly what happened in this chapter. Describe exactly what's going to happen to Babel. And it's clear that Yeshayahu was written long before the events in fact took place. Everything is clearly outlined and delineated. Because it's Hanukkah, I'm not going to give you any homework. The only thing I will ask of you is, number one, have a really happy and a healthy Hanukkah you and your families. And number two, please get some kind of a folder in which you leave all of these sheets, because by the time I'm finished with you, you're going to have a shtickel safer over here. And I don't want to keep going over this. We still have another piece of Gemara, the two sides, that we have to study. That's it. We did a chapter. We did a whole chapter.
We did more than a chapter.
We did more than a chapter. No, I'm very proud. Because we have some tough stuff coming up, but tremendous amount to talk about.